I said, we're finally ready to get started.
Oh,
good morning.
Yay. Good morning, and good morning, everybody, all patient people out there.
I know. All right, so there was much excitement about getting ready for the show, and here we are live, and our assignment from yesterday. The focus of the month-long is self-care, and the assignment from yesterday was read and record the write-up to this month's focus. As you listen to the recording, look to see where you suffer with this particular content. Jot that down. Example, the content is self-care. Perhaps you suffer around getting or not getting exercise. So let's hear from our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Hi. You know, I have been working very, very hard on this for a while, but especially for the last week and a half or 2 weeks, because I had a doctor visit, and I had lost a kind of a large amount of weight that I had no idea that I had done that. It was not intentional, I'd been working really hard, and so I've just been looking at so much around all of this, and I'm in a position now. I really have nothing that I have to do that, except to take care of this human, really, but watching the process around that, like, just everything that arose around that, like all the condition conversations of different aspects of conditioning talking to itself, you know, just watching that essentially to serve to get me into a place of fear. I saw that.
Uh-huh.
And
was it all your fault?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, how could you not know? And what were you doing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then there would be the defensive, well, I had to do this and this and this. And then there was somebody that come in, well, maybe there's something else going, you know, just all these things that would, all of that. But, and what I saw, I'll also say that in practice for me has been during this time, there's just been like a level of distraction running through everything in my life, you know, and it's one thing to have lost the weight, but to not have had a clue about that until I got on a scale at a doctor's office. I just had no idea be that unaware.
Right.
And, which was, you know, conditioning had stuff to say about that too. And so the whole thing and just how everything is connected, because there's been along with that, with the kind of the concern and everything, there's just this level of distraction in everything that I'm doing. And
well,
I guess, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't want to interrupt your last sentence, but so what was that?
Well, the last sentence was the biggest thing in self-care is going to be to drop the conversation so I can see what the heck's going on. That would be the biggest thing.
Yeah. And I would project that this kind of event in life is shocking and incredibly helpful. So what I happen to know, because I know you, is that you have spent the last year in a grieving process.
Yeah.
And that's, it's in that kind of situation, what I'm going to say next is expected. But what I think is important for us all to get is that whether we could expect it or not, the helpful thing to see is how unconscious we can be while being told that we are conscious.
Yeah.
That we can be so caught up in that kind of conversation that you're describing, believing it's me. I have a lot to do. I need to get this done. This is really important, which is true on a certain level. But what you've seen from it is that wasn't actually you, the centered, present, conscious Karen, talking. That was karmic conditioning talking talking as if it's you, right? So it, And you couldn't see it because it has the ability to distract us and imitate us such that we don't know what's going on until, as has happened to you, something shocks us into conscious awareness. And we realize, oh, my God, I've been completely gone.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, the follow-up with that, of course, is what you also described, which is then that same system just leaps in to make it your fault, to bring in fear, to do whatever the next level of conversational distraction is so that it remains in the same position in our life. We're once again completely unconscious, but we didn't notice that we once again are unconscious.
Yeah.
So it's a tremendous amount to see.
Well, and I just so appreciate hearing that because it explains so much in my life that is across the board, even in spiritual practice. Yeah. And I just really, really appreciate that.
I hope you know you're not alone. Right? What I described is a human process.
Yeah.
And, of course, the only way I can describe it that way is I know it intimately.
Yeah.
So.
And the whole, the strange or a really interesting part about it is that the whole year was spent in presumably making these changes that were going to help me take better care of myself and have the life that I want. But what got given up in the process is quite amazing. And
again, Karen, a universal process.
Yeah.
We can all catch on to, as soon as this is over, as soon as it's not like anybody's saying don't take care of yourself, because that's a high priority. And as soon as all of this is done, you're gonna do that. And then, of course, as soon as never arrives, because the next thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say last thing.
Yeah, please.
It's almost as if, like, I think about if that kind of the level that it was at was, say I was meditating in my house and, something happened, a pipe burst or a fire started or something like that, I would drop everything and go tend to that, no matter what I was in the middle of doing. Maybe I was starving and I was going to eat or something. But right. what the process I saw is that was kind of going on, that the content in my life felt like it was the pipe bursting or the house was burning down. And so everything would keep getting dropped in service to that. And that was the biggest scam of all, I think, looking back.
So
anyway, this is a wonderful, wonderful topic for me and timely, and I really appreciate it. And thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for starting us off so well in this great adventure.
Okay.
Take care of you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen.
So, what I heard in that, Sherry, what I heard Karen say is what she suffers over is the fact that not being aware of not prioritizing herself. Right,
yes.
In the choice of something to do and to take care of herself, it's not even in conscious awareness. And the reason I phrased it that way is that it helps me introduce the retreat a little bit, because what we're trying to do in this retreat, the series of questions, is really, really train ourselves to be able to look at any suffering, any content where we suffer and apply a process to it. And so answering the questions that are being laid out in these 29 days of the retreat for every focus is actually not just a process of watching what goes on for us, but also really training ourselves to use the process tool that is being offered.
And can you be more specific about that, Ashwini? So
well,
using the process.
So the first question that we were asking people is the first question we want to ask, which is get clarity on what you suffer over. So in the area of self-care, what's the question is, what do you suffer over as the focus that you want to pick for us to work uh-huh. through over the course of the month?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes and getting really clear on that is an important first step to embark on transcending uh-huh. suffering, because what conditioning does is not allow us to focus on anything. It stays in the realm of the ambiguous, right?
Well, in the realm of the ambiguous and in a conversation in the realm of the ambiguous, right?
That's
Which
right.
is one of the things that was so helpful in what Karen was pointing out, is that it is the equivalent of there's some sort of urgent something all the time. And so
yes.
whatever I try to focus on, it just brings in the next urgent thing that I need to focus on instead of actually being present to myself and what's going on with me right now.
If clear on whatever it is, then we can actually delve into the process of the how behind that, right? So
uh-huh.
if I suffer over procrastination, for example, that's just a label. But if I can say I'm not able to get myself to the gym on time, or I always postpone my meditation, there's an entryway from a concrete place
mm-hmm.
that we can look
mm-hmm.
at from.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, that's very good. That's
All
very
right.
helpful. Thank All you.
Right. Let's hear from our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jill in Philadelphia.
Hey, Jill.
Hey, Jill.
Oh,
hi.
Jill.
Yes.
Jill, before anything else,
yes.
handkerchiefs are on the way.
Oh, yes.
Yes, so we had a conversation about not using, I'll let you talk in just a minute, okay? But I just read about an old growth forest in Canada that is being cut down directly to be made into
oh.
Kleenex and toilet paper. Not even
oh.
used for something else and then recycled, it's direct.
Wow.
And so our conversation was about how many of us have started using handkerchiefs instead of facial tissues, and then your question was, well, that's great, but where do we get these?
Yeah.
And so Ashwini hopped on that, and they are on their way from India.
Wow.
So, yeah. So more about that. Anybody who's interested in not having trees go directly to something to blow your nose on, let us know, and we'll make that happen. Okay, now back to – hi, Jill.
Hi, that's very exciting. Thank
mm-hmm.
you. So what Ashwini just laid out was really helpful because what I saw just now was, I have some reoccurring physical pain, and so I was looking at the self-care around that and how to sort of I guess where I started with was, how do I help this person have less pain? But actually listening to Ashwini, where I went was helping the person who is helping the person have less pain, because that's where the suffering is. A lot of my suffering over the pain is around, the person gets talked into, she's not doing enough, she's doing it wrong, why didn't she, blah, blah, blah. And so,
uh-huh.
yeah, that was very, very insightful.
Mm-hmm. And gives you a place now to focus on the suffering aspect, right? Because the pain is the pain.
Yeah.
And as we're always fond of pointing out, pain and suffering are not synonymous. And what you've seen is how that pain gets turned into suffering.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that there is someone who's in care of the body pain, and she gets, you know, really beaten up often by conditioning around certain whatever, just different aspects of it. And so,
well,
yeah.
Before the call, something happened that is completely irrelevant. But what went through for me was, your life is not my fault.
Hmm.
Okay? Now, the other way, my life is not your fault either.
Hmm.
All right? And that's such an important insight, I think, into what conditioning does, because that's what it's saying. Now, if I said to you, well, Jill, you know, I'm feeling this way, and it's because you blah, blah, blah. You know, at least we're both people, right?
Right.
So we could, you know. But what's happening is a voice in the head is making what's happening with your body somebody's fault.
Yes. Yeah, and it really blocks out everything that she does do for the body.
Yes.
And it
yes.
puts all of the attention on, well, we're experiencing pain, like, let's look at why, and it's because you didn't blah, 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 and we didn't blah, 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 instead of looking at all of the times that, you know, we felt, that there was no pain or that there was no suffering.
Well,
it, so.
And it not only does it keep that conversation going, right? It, the focus on what you've done wrong that this is happening, it keeps any additional insights from coming in, right? Which
right.
I, in my paranoid view of the world, think is the real point of the whole thing. Yes, you're being tortured over this, which is always good for that system that lives off of that negativity. But it's also blocking you, in much the way Karen was describing, blocking you from being present to what else, the insights that might take you to a next level of being pain-free.
I tell you, I've been working on this for eight years, maybe longer, and I had an insight like 2 months ago about something that just broke the whole thing open. And so I'm right on board with that. I feel like there's just so much information that gets blocked because of this conversation.
Yes.
And
that the
info is out there.
yes. Trying to get through the scrambling to get to us.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for that. All right.
Thank you.
More soon on handkerchiefs and everything else.
And all see right. you later this month. So.
Oh, lovely. Great.
Yes.
Thanks, Jill. Sure, I'm going to keep going because it'd be fun to see what everyone is focusing on. So here we go.
Yes. All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Colin here.
Hey, Colin.
Yes, I was looking at exercise, it's very sort of nebulous, really. I was out cycling today, and there was a conversation going on about, well, how many minutes cycling I was doing, and was that sufficient to take care of the body? And I think that's how it is, that whatever I'm doing, not doing enough, or I'm doing the wrong exercise. Whatever I'm doing is never sort of really adequate. And one of the things I was practicing with is saying thank you, and thank you for the body, and that sort of takes me to a process of caring and supporting and nurturing the body. And it's not about something, how hard I'm trying or how many minutes I'm doing every day, but it was just to start off with being in a process of care somehow.
Mm-hmm. You know, that feels so important to me, that insight, So for years, I kind of lived in gyms, and I was always fascinated by people who would be, they would be doing bicep curls and reading a book, and there's so much information coming from, you know, fitness folks that say you really have to be focused on what it is that you're doing. You have to be focused on that bicep for it to be able to receive the benefit of what you're doing. And what you just said is so big, because it had that conversation. I am exercising, right? But I'm not focused on the body while I'm exercising. I'm in a conversation in my head about whether I'm doing enough and am I doing it right and how it. So, yeah, the body is kind of, even though ostensibly it's for the body, the body's really left out of the whole equation.
Yes, I'm kind of not there for it, really. And I think really to start off with just being present to the body and doing something where I'm really just present to the body for a few minutes would be a good place to start, and
right.
Perhaps see where that takes
me. Right. Well, and to thank you, right, to appreciate.
Yeah.
So here I am doing whatever it is that I'm doing. How miraculous is that? You know, from I was able to get up and just walk across the room to do whatever it is that I'm going to do next. Thank you, body. What an amazing body you are. What would feel good? And probably the body has some really clear ideas about how it would be nice to move and what would feel good and what, but we're prevented from finding out, from having that conversation directly with the other member of our team by this other conversation in the head.
Yeah, so I think that would be a really good place for me to start, to stop. Well, sort of punishing the body really is exercise as punishment, but to just listen
as an act of love.
And see what happens.
All right. Well, I think I can safely say see you soon.
Well, I hope so. I'm sitting next to my suitcase here, so let's
good
hope
Lord
so.
Will,
yeah.
The creek don't rise.
That's right. All right. Thank you. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's Colin. And so I heard there, suffering is related to how hard. So the conversation is how hard or how much do I need to exercise?
Yeah. Not, but, and I bet, you know, this would be one of those we'd all raise our hands, that that has become the focus. Not that it's really fun to play and the body loves to play and the body loves to move and to do things. It's like a punishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought over that. Okay, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karen in Wisconsin.
Hello, Karen.
Hi. well, it was a great conversation.
The first of many, right?
The first of many. I'm so happy to be
excited.
On the first. And I was on last year. I was on the first day, too.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, keep up the tradition, okay?
So that's cool. What was present for me was just rest in sleeping. And so it was right there, like, how I can really support myself. Is and in self care is to go to bed, 10:30, and right away conditioned mind said, "Yeah, why can't you even just get yourself to bed on time?" It was like this critical voice of like, "That's so simple. Why can't you? Why can't you do it?" And it was so like, yeah, I just knew that was that's not like it was so like conditioned mind. Masquerading as me and masquerading as something that's helpful. But
yes.
It's just funny just to watch the whole, you know, to be onto it.
Yes. Well, and the next funny part, which you probably know very well already, is that that same voice is what keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
Right? With the, well,
yeah, it tells me not to go to bed. You know,
yeah,
you need to do
this. Yeah, you need to get right. that done. And that's it's one of those if-when, right? So if you get this done, when you're finished with
yes.
this, then you'll be able to rest. Then you'll be able to, oh, and you'll rest so well.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. And then, but I know the other piece was that I was watching then myself go into, because once there's that criticism, then I'm like a little child where I'm now arguing with that, like kind of like, I don't want to go to bed, or like it brings up the not wanting to go to bed and
yeah.
like, and also I'm feeling unskillful and like, because I am feeling like, what is wrong with me that I can't just get myself to bed? No really reason not to. And I know yeah. I like to be up in the morning, you know? So it just is so like, it is like, it creates this whole like unconscious thing that keeps me from not doing this thing that I actually want,
yes.
you know,
yes.
I benefit from, I enjoy doing, there's no downside to,
yeah. Well, and the,
my PJs on.
Right. And luxuriating a little before you fall
yes.
asleep.
Yeah.
Again, there's
yes.
so much scientific evidence now that what's killing Americans, along with the other things that are killing us, is a lack of sleep. That it's an epidemic at this
yeah.
point. So that whole we do fall into that. And what I liked about the way you laid it out was, it's obvious there are so many characters involved, right? That you're being played by a full orchestra. One kind of good cop, bad cop, right? That it's your fault that you don't do the right thing. It'll have a solution for you. If you were the right person, then you would do this. It'll tell you what benefits are that you're missing because
uh-huh.
you're not the
yeah.
right person and you're not doing the right thing. And finally, it just becomes overwhelming because we've been listening to that stuff for so long. Since we were little kids, we were getting this overwhelming, incomprehensible pseudo-information that we believed was for our own good, and so has never been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a shyster, because that
yeah.
voice almost sounds like it's trying to help me, but like,
oh, so concerned
like,
about you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So concerned. and really is kind of in a state of grief that you are such a loser. You know, I mean, you can't even get yourself to, what are we to do? I mean, how do you deal with somebody who can't even get to bed? Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's big, huh?
Yeah, it's really big. It's really mm-hmm. big, and it's really, like, all about the process. Like pain, I don't know. It's really, like, teasing
yeah.
it apart and
yeah.
seeing then how I go into this child who then wants to rebel and not go to bed.
Yes. Yes, which I would suspect is one of the players and not
yes.
you at all.
Yes.
So
that's right, that's
place
right, that's
look.
Right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That's another
might not
player.
Be Karen, actually.
That might yeah. not be Karen, that little like, yeah, you can't make me
the
yeah.
rebellious teenager who,
right.
Hell with you, I'm never gonna sleep again.
Oh, it just is never ending. the opportunities to wake up.
Yeah, oh, they are everywhere all the time, aren't they?
Yeah.
And we're gonna do it. We're gonna get enough sleep, and then we're gonna wake up.
And then we're gonna wake up.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen, and Sherry. That brings us to the end of the show. Funnily enough, we could have spent so much more time on that.
Yeah.
But yes.
What do we get
well,
to do next?
Well, the exciting part for me, since I've seen the arc of the retreat and no one else has, is how much, so much of our practice, so much of what we've heard today, people are already practicing with in terms of process. And so it's really, really going to be fun to do this and do it in such a deliberate fashion. So our next question is,
answer this very non-Zen question. Why do you want to work with this particular issue? Record and listen. Note, the obvious answer is, I don't want to suffer. So we encourage you to go beyond the obvious answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, way beyond.
Yes, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the encouragement being to really spend time answering the question. Not just watching your process, but really answering the question.
Mm-hmm. And doing a lot of recording and listening about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Well, see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Go happy.
Thanks, listening. Go happy. Thanks, everybody.